Hey guys, it's a special time of week. It's Movie Moan time. This is Jamie Williams, co-owner and co-operator of thinkandflythink.com, with you, back with you as always. And also with me, as always, is Mr. Phil G. Sir, say hello.
Hello, everybody. I hope you've had a great week. I hope you all enjoyed the Oscars. And I hope you're all looking forward to Watchmen. Who watches The Watchmen? Phil G does, because he's got his IMAX ticket for next Saturday, and I'm stoked.
Nice.
I've got to tell you, dude, I'm stoked. I know we haven't been particular fans of the marketing in the last couple of
Oh, yeah.
months for it, but to be honest, I mean, with most films of this type, which I'm not certain about because I
Right.
haven't read the book, I'm staying spoiler free on it. I have no concept of what the movie's going to be, except for the twist about who the fucking villain is. So
Yes.
no reviewers can keep that their mouths shut about that. They all assume we've read the books. So unfortunately, I do know who the villain turns out to be. Not that I'll spoil it here, but in any case, I was waiting for the reviews. The reviews have come out. Generally, the general consensus is high. I mean, Total Film and Empire, my Bibles, they both gave it 4 stars out of 5.
I
That's
was
good enough for
surprised.
me.
I really thought Empire was going to give it a flat out 5. I really thought like they would totally. But the other thing though, you have to point out though, in other reviews they are saying, look, if you know this, if you know the graphic novel, then you're going to love this movie probably. More likely than none, you're going to eat this movie up. If you're not familiar with it, you're going to be just like, what? And that's the general public. I mean, people are getting this really misconstrued that everyone knows about The Watchmen, like everyone knows the story of The Watchmen, and they don't. Most this is an obscure comic book to most people, and it's 2.5 hours, and it's a hard R-rated movie. And I don't care what people are saying. I've seen it firsthand where people will not be let into movies, or kids will not be let into R-rated movies. I've seen it firsthand, and recently, no less. So this whole, oh, they'll let kids in, that's horseshit, man. They are not going to let kids into certain R-rated movies, sadly, anymore.
Do you know what? Well, I have something to tell you about that.
Yes, go ahead.
The rating system in this country, I'm not sure if you're familiar with it. It works slightly differently. It's
Okay.
not a PG, PG-13 R. We have U, which is universal for all children's film. PG, which rarely gets used these days. PG, the last PG movie I remember was, what was it? Oh, Fantastic Four: Rise of the Silver Surfer. That's what a PG movie is.
Wow.
Inoffensively bland.
And
Yes, most movies get a
shitty.
12, and shitty indeed. Most movies these days get a 12. Blockbusters anyway get a 12A certificate. It used to be 12, and then when Spider-Man came out, parents started getting really pissed off because their children weren't allowed to go and see it. They kept getting turned away. Despite the fact that they'd accompanied their children to the film, and despite the fact that the studio still expects them to buy the candy and the toys and
Right.
everything and bed pillows, but they can't see the movie. So actually, the BBFC, the British Board of Film Classification, they changed that, so it's now a 12A, which means children under 12 can go in with their parents. And then instead of R, we have 15 and 18. Now let me tell you something.
Okay.
In this day and age, it is extremely rare for a film in this country to get an 18 certificate. Horror
What?
films, yes, they get 18 certificates usually. But Clerks 2, for example, which I saw again this weekend, I love seeing that film, has obviously some of the most disgusting, filthy language and sexual references you could ever possibly hear, and a donkey show, and yet that's a 15 certificate. Watchmen is an 18. So I don't know. Don't forget, I have no concept of what this movie is going to be, which I think is really going to be
I
interesting
think
next
that's the
weekend.
pro I think that's appropriate. I don't know why people are just saying like, oh, you have to read the comic book. It's like it's no disregard disrespect to the comic book, but why is this suddenly being hailed as the Holy Grail, like, oh, you have to see it? Or like if you don't like the movie, then suddenly you just don't like the comic book. You don't know what you're talking about. It's like, well, some people are not gonna dig this
Well, when your
movie.
trailer says the most anticipate, no, when your
Yeah.
trailer says the
Most
most whatever
acclaimed
it's
graphic novel of
novel of all time,
our time.
yes, from the visionary director of 300,
300,
yes,
yeah,
and everyone enjoyed 300, so
yes, and
this is a
they're
mistake because they're gonna go in expecting the same thing.
that's my argument. Actually, the example I give is also it's actually is this really does feel like 2003 all over again. And I'll explain myself very quickly for you folks. In that, in 02, Spider-Man came out and fucking exploded. Was in the top 10 forever, broke tons of records. at the time, everyone loved it. I think time has not reflected really well on that flick. It's not a bad film. It's decent. Now, you look at it now and you go, it's decent, but boy, that second one blows it away. And but anyway, getting beside that, so the next year, there were new franchises being launched with Daredevil and Hulk, and those films were pretty much marketed as the next Spider-Man. And their trailers and TV spots made them look like more of the same of Spider-Man. Like, if you love Spider-Man, you're going to love this. Even if they would say, like, oh, they're a little bit darker, but still, it's just like Spider-Man. And people went in, and they had huge opening weekends, and the word of mouth was horrible because people felt screwed over by those movies. They're like, you know what? I thought this was Spider-Man. They told me it was Spider-Man. It wasn't Spider-Man. Fuck this movie. And that's what happened to both films. Phil, I mean, I get that. I cannot help but get that feeling with Watchmen. Now everyone's saying it's like, you know, another Dark Knight, and everyone's saying, oh, but they're properly selling it to people how dark it is. No, they're not. They're still trying to sell it as a superhero action film that's just dark and R-rated. People, I don't know. I mean, people must be nerdgasming into believing this movie is going to be like huge and shit, because it's like it's going to have a big opening weekend. It's got no competition, no doubt about that, man. But this idea
and
that
it's getting pumped hard in this country,
it is being pushed so hard.
Right now.
There is no doubt it's going to open really well, but the next weekend is going to. I will say right now that movie will probably fucking just nosedive. I hate to say
I know,
that.
Man. And I have to tell you, I have no concept of what this movie is going to be, except for the fact that it has an 18 certificate, and so I am expecting the most insane, brutal violence I've ever seen in my life. And what I will also tell you, and I have no idea how it's going to do in regular theatres, but IMAX is gone for the first weekend.
Oh, I don't
I was
doubt that.
Lucky to get a ticket.
I don't doubt that, man. I really don't. I don't doubt that it'll be big in the the opening weekend in regular theaters. But
and I went to the theater this weekend yesterday. I'll talk about that in a little bit. And people are talking about it. People are talking about seeing Watchmen next weekend. They were handing out these lovely little Watchmen brochures with every person who got a popcorn, which tells you a little bit about the plot for the uninitiated, which is a smart move.
Smart move.
You know,
give them props for that.
Lots of posters and trailer is playing in the lobby and lots of little blurbs saying be the first to see Watchmen at our midnight screening, which we really usually don't do in this country. So
yeah,
I know you're probably right. We can only really judge how people are going to respond to it until we see it.
Until the
I assume you will see it by next week's show.
I've got my ticket, and it's funny. Woo-hoo! Because I well yeah, but here's the thing though, man. Like I in my theater, like shit, like huge movies, you know, they sell tons of pre-sold tickets, dude. I go up there Friday night. You know how many tickets were sold? Pre-sold tickets were there were how many tickets were sold ahead of time for Watchmen before I got mine?
10.
None.
None.
Oh, none. Okay. This is the same.
Maybe.
Like, this is like
just
where
place,
Indiana Jones 4 and Dark Knight and fucking Wall-E and shit like that. Tons of tickets were sold beforehand. Even fucking Madea. So that just came out in the States. Even that had tons of pre-sold tickets. Watchmen, none.
Well,
I'm not saying that's. I'm not saying in any way, shape, or form that's a proof of anything. I'm just saying is like, I think this is an example of where the internet is so pumped about a movie they're getting mixed up with what regular people want to see. Because, dude, we had this with Grindhouse like 2 years ago. Everyone assumed
it's
that
on a plane.
Snakes in a Plane, Grindhouse, everyone assumed because we're excited, everyone else is excited. We nerdgasm. And it didn't happen. I mean, Grindhouse bombed. It opened at number 4 and just fucking tanked afterwards. And it got great reviews too, and the internet was ablazing about it. And I'm not saying it's going to do that. I don't think it's going to do I don't think it's going to do Grindhouse business, thank God. But I want the movie to succeed, but I have to be the realist here and say, you know what, this is not going to happen. In the same way that last summer I did come out and say on our show that the Incredible Hulk was not going to do huge. People were, again, just jerking themselves off into thinking Hulk was going to do huge because of Iron Man. And I said, they're two different beasts, and people still have a bad taste in their mouth over the Ang Lee Hulk. And, you know, it barely made more money than the Ang Lee version.
Well, we have to call it, Jamie. This is our last chance. Well we think Watchmen is going to do. I'm going to say, opening weekend-wise, I'm going to say In your country, yeah. I'm going to say $50 million.
I agree
with
it.
I'm going to say.
I think that's a very
best case scenario.
That is a very realistic number because you think about it, it's R-rated and it's 2.5 hours. And you know, people say, yeah, but like Dark Knight had the opening weekend record. That was 2.5 hours. And yes, it was. But here's how I give a rebuttal to that. If you remember, there was a lot of press that major theater chains not only had midnight screenings for Dark Knight, they also had 2 a.m. and 5 a.m. screenings for Dark Knight that sold out on Friday morning because the demand was so high for that. That's how that 2.5 hour movie was able to break the opening weekend record to $158 million. That's how it got it, because those early screenings and shit. That's how it happened. Watchmen isn't getting that. It's getting midnight screenings in the big cities and shit, but they're not doing like 2 a.m. and 5 a.m. and screenings for this movie, dude. They're just like, all right, we've screened it. Now let's all go home. We'll open up tomorrow. You know, I don't know. I want it to succeed. I'd like for it to do well. Of course, I have to judge it as a movie, which I haven't seen. But
the true measure of it succeeding, in my opinion, is whether it's good. And
I agree.
The general consensus from the reviews is that it is good. And it's not as good as the book, obviously.
It's a polarized movie. I've read some major people, major critics and shit. They're just like, you know what? This is going to divide people down the middle line. And I swear to God, the moment they announced this movie and it was going to be Schneider behind the helm and it was going to be really faithful to the Moore book, I said, this is going to be another Blade Runner and another Fight Club where it's insanely expensive to produce, to do it properly. And they get the money and they make it and it's brilliant and nobody cares. People are led to believe it's something that it isn't. Like it will not do that well. And I hope to be wrong, but I really can't help but escape the Blade Runner feeling from this movie. Which again, if you're being compared to Blade Runner, that's a great thing, actually.
Well, in some people's opinion, it's hard to believe this, but there are some people who don't like it. They don't like Blade Runner.
That's true. It took me forever to get into it when I was younger, because again, I had preconceived notions of this movie, of that movie. So we'll see what happens. You know, I'd like to be wrong. We've spent 10 minutes talking about it now, and I hope I've gotten that point across now that I'm not shitting on Watchmen. I'm just being realistic here, folks.
Well, we'll see. All I know is I'm pumped. You know what? If I'm honest, I'm mainly pumped because, and I've told you this before, it's an IMAX movie.
Yes.
And I always love going to the IMAX. It's a treat I get to do only two or three times a year, probably less than that this year. Oh, and of course, I assume you won't be seeing it at the IMAX. You'll get trailers this weekend. Apparently, you'll get the new Terminator trailer. You'll get the new Star Trek trailer. I might get the new Star Trek trailer.
I think you will.
It's an IMAX movie.
I don't know.
Be nice.
Knock on wood that you get it.
Anyway, can't wait to see it.
Yes.
Should we talk about the Oscars?
I think we should talk about the Oscars because, folks, what happened here, I'll just segue real quickly. Phil buzzed me up. I say buzz as in call. He's like, hey, man, let's do a show tonight. And Phil, if you didn't know, like Phil, you know, the way the time area works, that Phil basically has to literally stay up all night just to watch the Oscars when I watch it at night. You know, it started.
And I didn't get any sleep.
Yeah, so I was like, you know, dude, like.
Don't do it, folks. Yeah. I nearly died. I really, really. That was a mistake. I really, really was not good at work the next day.
Did you go to work?
I did. I had to go to
work.
Okay,
I couldn't hear.
Any bullshit excuse. No, I had to go
to work. Oh, Phil, you watch the Oscar again, getting you.
I didn't tell anybody.
They probably just knew, dude. They were just like, oh, Oscar night, huh? Or Oscar morning.
No, it wasn't that I was falling asleep. It was just I was really crabby, you could understand.
Yeah, but like not that you fall asleep. What I mean is, yeah, exactly. You look like hell. You know, I'm not saying it meanly, but like, you know, you don't get sleep. You're gonna look bad. I mean, you know, shit. I know from firsthand.
And to be honest, I'm glad you said no because I passed out.
I probably wouldn't have done the show anyway. You better get some motherfucking sleep because it would be a bad show and just it wouldn't work out. Besides, it's better to reflect.
In any case,
yes,
I don't regret it. Not just because it's one night of the year. For once in a blue moon, I can finally say, lo, tell it upon the mountains, I'm standing up high and saying it was actually worth it this year.
It was a good show. It was a, as a show, as just production value and the host, obviously, it was, I think it was top notch, man. I was really entertained. I dug it. The problem is the fact that it was the most predictable Oscars every year, because I went to a friend's house and watched it, and I predicted it right in front of, we'd see the, you know, the nominees, and they'd say for each category, and I'd call it, or he'd call it, and we'd be right. In fact, I will say, Phil and I made a crazy-ass prediction last week, because we both agreed that if there's going to be any upset, it would be in the Best Actor category. And we both thought that Sean Penn and Mickey
Rourke
would cancel each other out, and Skeletor himself, or Perry White, or Richard Nixon himself, Frank Langella, would pull off the upset of upsets. And it didn't happen. But I will say, though, Phil, and I think you'll agree with me on this, is that the moment I saw that Sean Penn was in the audience, I said, okay, Sean Penn just won. I know he's going to win now. Because
it's the second that Robert De Niro started bigging him up, talking about his charity work, I was like, oh, fucking hell.
Yeah.
It's just a horrible sinking feeling. He's not going to win, and there's nothing I can do to stop it.
I knew when I saw...
Fair enough, because I haven't seen Milk, sure he deserves it.
Yeah, but, like, Penn does not go to these awards often. Like, you know, he's been nominated quite a few times in the past, and he never would show up. And then for Mystic River, which he did win for, he showed up. And it's almost like, you know, that people tell you, hey, dude, like, you're going to win, you better show up. So he showed up. And then for this, he showed up. And I was like, oh, so, he knows he's going to win. He's going to show up to win his award. So that's when I knew. I was like, all right, he's won. So no surprises. And also Danny Boyle. Danny Boyle had the craziest reactions. Like, he had the most lit up reactions to every person who won for Slumdog Millionaire. And we kept,
I know.
My best friend and I kept mimicking his
Joker smile going on.
God, my best friend and I kept mimicking, like, how he would look. He'd have a new pose and a new smile every time someone went up there. And it was, I mean, it was cute and shit, but it was also just really funny. And I haven't heard anyone react to that yet, because he'd have, like, his hands together, like he was, like, saying a prayer, like, right up to his cheeks, like, smiling when someone was giving him, accepting a speech for Slumdog Millionaire. It's just, he was lit up. I don't blame him. I'd have been too.
No. The other crazy prediction that Jamie and I made was that Hugh Jackman would try and plug Wolverine in some way. I made the insane idea that he would come out with envelopes, Oscar envelopes, in between his fingers like claws. That didn't happen.
No, but he made one reference to the fact that he plays Wolverine. That was the closest thing to it. And I liked that, actually. I thought that, hey, look, you know, he's not going to whore his movie. I like that. Because most times people do, they always do that. Like Mike Myers, the most recent example, he hosted the MTV Movie Awards, I think is what it was, and he started, like, he made a lot of jokes about, you know, the Love Guru, as if people cared. And they didn't, of course. So,
but was it a Paramount movie?
Yes.
Well, there you go, because, you know, it's all owned by Viacom, and so you can understand. And, you know, if they're going to have that, just to sidetrack for a second, if they're going to have that bullshit most anticipated movie of the year award, guess who's going to win it? Not that it's sort of deserved for Transformers 2 to win it, but still.
Yeah, but like when they did that, Transformers hadn't even opened yet, as I recall. So it's like, what?
I'm never going to watch that show. But anyway,
I stopped watching it myself, actually. Yeah, okay, go ahead.
Jackman was the man.
It was weird how
the first half of the show, he was the man. Because in the second half of the show, he wasn't in it very much, which was very weird.
Which was good, actually. I think it was very good. I mean, you know, they were trying to think outside the box with picking him as a host. And I liked the musical numbers. I didn't have any problem with it. I was entertained, man. I mean, despite the predictability of the winners and shit, that Oscar ceremony really did fly by for me, man. I was like, oh, shit, has it been 3 hours? Wow.
I said one or two, even if a joke or two of Jackman's misses the mark, people will still laugh because it's Hugh Jackman and we all love him. And one or two jokes did miss the mark, in my opinion. I noticed that. But he just picked himself up again and moved on. The opening was fantastic. Do you know why it was fantastic for me? Because he acknowledged two things which were on everybody's mind in his opening musical number. Number one, why isn't Dark Knight nominated? And two, I haven't seen the read. When he started singing, I had need to see the reader. I was on the floor.
Which, like, to be fair, he was joking. He was joking, actually. Someone asked, and he's like, no. He did see it. Like, they said that was, like, one of the first
things. Oh, I know he's joking, but he knows that's what the problem is
some people actually took that literally, like, oh, my God, see? He said he didn't see them. And it's like, people never heard of a joke, ever.
Oh, God, I know.
You know?
But it was... Yeah, you're right. I mean, the low keyness. I've always said the problem is that, you know, one of the problems with the Oscars, and I'm not the first person to say this, is they try to make it a variety show because it is a TV show first and foremost, and the primary function of a TV show is to get ratings and get money. So they throw in everything they possibly can. And, you know, this year, I'm sorry, you really think you're throwing up Cedric Diggory on the stage there to present an award because... You know, he's brought something. He's a member of the film community now. No, it's so young women will watch because they think he's hot, which is fair enough. I'm insanely jealous of the man. No, not really, but fair enough. He looked uncomfortable on that stage, Cedric Diggory. Well, yeah, I know. It's true. He's an English man.
That'll be the title of this podcast, is Phil Really Wants to Be Cedric Diggory.
Whatever. Yeah, I do. Well, no, because he's dead. I don't want to be dead. I've got things to do with
my life. Be a zombie.
But anyway.
Because some people were – I mean, there were those who were wondering if Heath Ledger would show up and accept his Oscar and be like an Andy Kaufman
for God's sake.
Host. I fooled you! You know,
like
He gives a high five to Noah and is like, $500 million, you know.
Oh, my God. Right. Well, thanks for listening, everybody. I'm just going to click on the hang-up button now.
Go ahead, sir.
You've got to admit that that moment – there was no forced sentimentality, in my opinion, about the moment when Ledger's family collected the Oscar. It was very special.
It was nice. I mean, it was very appropriately classy and shit. The only thing that surprised me is I really thought Nolan accepted everything. I mean, every war Nolan won. Ledger won. Nolan always accepted on his behalf because there was some kind of controversy between who would actually accept the Oscar. I think at this point, you know, everyone knew he was going to win. You know, as you folks know from listening to me, I was never 100% sure he was going to get it the whole time. I did believe that, you know, they don't give Oscars to dead actors often, and, you know, obviously this was the exception to the rule, but it was only leading up to, like, the week before the Oscars that I finally said, all right, Ledger's going to win. I was still kind of wondering if in the back of my mind there could be an upset, you know. So anyway.
Oh well, Nolan didn't accept it at the BAFTAs. It was the producer. It was Chuck Rogen.
Yeah.
He accepted it. Jackman was great. It was just really weird that he kind of disappeared, and I didn't like the middle music number. But there's a negative, so I'll get onto those later. One masterstroke this year, which everybody agrees, I think that they should just keep doing, is the handouts of the actor categories and having five previous nominees come out and say a piece to each nominee.
You like that?
And give them praise. I loved it. Now,
I hated it.
90% of what they were saying. Really? Well, I'm saying 90% of what they were saying was pure cliche. But it embraced what the hell the Oscars are supposed to be about. It's about the industry celebrating and honoring other members of their profession that are up and coming, and
but it's also about people voting for your friends and shit. That's what it really is about. I mean, let's be fair here. I mean, it's terribly true. I hate to say that, sir, but like they'll hand the ballots over to like their wives or their friends or something. Be like, hey, vote for me, whatever. I don't care. I mean, you know what? I mean, I gotta be honest here, man. You know that like no one was excited about this year's Oscars when Jack Nicholson won't show up. I mean, because I'm just saying, like, I liked the ceremony. It was I had faith going into it, but like, I mean, come on, dude. Like, in terms of winners and shit, I mean, like, dude. That whole having the actors present, I thought that was cornball. It drug it out further than it needed to be, and I mean, you can't do that every year. I mean, there's just no way that's going to happen because you're going to run out of people to, you know, five actors to get their ass up there and do it. You're gonna have to use some. Yeah, but you know that's true though. It's kind of like, remember when they did it a couple years ago, where they would have like, they'd get all the nominees up on stage, and then they would announce them, and then they'd hand them the Oscar. They tried that one time, and it didn't work out. And of course, now everyone seems to have forgotten about that. This will go away, like just like that did. I can't see them keeping that.
What the hell do they do on like American Idol every friggin' week? Somebody sings a song and then you have to go around three individual judges while they all say something, and then we get like, we've still got 10 more songs to go. Not that I watch the show. It's just, and that show's on every week. It's the same thing here.
Well, actually, X Factor. It would be X Factor for you. Is that still on in the UK?
Yes, it is, unfortunately.
And Pop Idol, is that still on, or?
No, it's X Factor now.
It's X Factor?
It's run by the same people, so they can't.
Yeah, because Cowell's on it. Because they say, like, Cowell literally gets on a plane and will do X Factor, and then he'll get back on his plane and fly to L.A. for Idol.
Whatever country's got talent, that's a different show. They can still have that, and that's the same formula as well. But people don't want to know this. You and I are in complete disagreement about this.
Yeah. Respectfully.
You're the first, I'm sure, yeah, absolutely, and I've not actually encountered anybody on the interweb yet that shares your opinion, but maybe I just need to look harder. I personally think that they should carry that tradition on. I think it very much celebrates the true purpose of the Oscars, and I was absolutely delighted by it. Weird that they didn't do the same thing for director, but maybe it's just because they can't find five directors who actually want to be part of that.
Yeah,
but maybe they will.
Yeah, it's not a knock against Reese Witherspoon, but it's like, wow, her. I mean, like, she didn't really strike me as like, you want her. I mean, I thought she did fine, but you know, I kind of figured like they'd have Spielberg present both picture and director. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
And also, that was the weird thing. Like, usually director and picture are like right after one another in terms of announcements, and they went ahead and announced director, and they did actress. And then actor, and then best picture. I thought that was also weird.
Yeah, although I did like at the start the theme they were going with, structuring all the technical awards about, you know, we're going to take you through the gym.
That was good.
You didn't like that?
I did like that.
Oh, you liked that?
That was really good. That won't stick, sadly, but I really liked it.
It really helps it move.
It does
and
help.
Another thing, it's a little note, but I think it's incredibly great and classy of them. That Daniel Craig walks out in a tux and they don't play Bond music.
Oh,
I was like, thank God. I'm pretty sure he wouldn't have done it if they had.
Well, I mean, he's not going to walk off and do it. He's just going to keep on like any actor. Just,
no,
like,
he knows
smiles,
ahead of time what they're going to play. It's like,
does it and then just leaves. I mean, what are you going to do about that? That's like doing it with Pierce Brosnan now, and he's just like, I don't want to talk about it anymore. They fired me. You know?
Yeah, I know.
What's he going to do?
Well, it's...
Now he's up for a
Razzie this year, wasn't he?
Yeah, well, what they'll do now is they'll just play Mamma Mia when he walks into the stage.
Yeah.
Because isn't that ironic? That's his highest grossing movie. It's not a Bond film, but it's indeed Mamma Mia.
It's true. Wow, I never thought about that.
That's
true enough. Legacy.
But, I mean, it's not like you can give him credit for that. You don't say, like, oh, Pierce Brosnan made that movie, made $600 million. It's like, no, not at all. But he's fortunate to be a part of it. So people will believe that, hey, look, Brosnan still has a career. And it's kind of like, not really. In a way, he does, but, you know, not really.
Oh, well.
I'm being a dick this week, aren't I?
Not at all. Trust me, I'm about to turn into a bit of an angry dick myself.
Okay.
Talk about our negatives.
All right, let's go.
But before I do, I mean, were there any positives about the show that you loved that I've missed?
Nah, I think you got it all. I want to hear it. Come on, fuck it. I want to hear you being a dick. Come on.
All right, we'll do this first, then. The In Memoriams. Usually my favorite part of the entire show every year, which says something about previous years. But it's always a great moment. Considering that it is just a montage, I always find they wonderfully edit together the clips. They always find the right piece of music to go with it, and it's always done very tastefully. There is always a bit at the end which I disagree with, which is that they always leave the last person to be honored. And they always have a big musical sting to go with that and show, spend more time on that person, which gives the impression that that person is more important than everybody else, which I think is disrespectful and I don't like that. But they do it anyway. I suppose I can live with it. My God, they fucked up the In Memoriam this year. I was fuming. Seriously, Jamie, I was angry by what the hell they did to it this year.
Okay,
first of all, you don't... look, I've got nothing against Latifah. She's the queen. I like her. She's fine. But for, you do not have a live song. We were talking about last week how great it was that they'd actually got rid of the song performances and they'd actually, you know, they cut it down to a montage this year, and I actually thought that worked kind of well. It actually, the Wally song seeped quite nicely into the Slumdog ones, kind of. It's kind of nice.
Yeah.
Peter Gabriel, that one shot of him in the crowd.
I know, yeah, it's like fucking powerful.
That could have been me.
No, it's a bit weird. But anyway,
oh, it's weird
how great that was. So what do? They take the airtime that would have, they take the song and they put that in the In Memoriams. What it does, of course, is it makes that the fucking camera has two things to shoot. You're supposed to be looking at this montage and honoring these people, and instead the camera is focusing on fucking Latifah, Queen Latifah, and the fucking
no offense against her. It's just about the producers, mind you.
Exactly, exactly. So you can't even. It's like you're in an electronics store, watching a television in the background and with subtitles, a foreign movie with subtitles, and you're so far away you can't fucking read the subtitles. And in fact, you're so far away in the shot where Latifah's in the foreground, you can't even tell who the person is in the fucking thing. Let's face it, a lot of people who watch the Oscars don't know half the people in the In Memoriams. I'll be honest, I probably don't know who half of them are sometimes, but by seeing the little credits, it's nice to know who they are. Like, a lot of them are producers, long-time producers. Obviously, they're background people. You don't really know many of them, so you really wouldn't know them. But if you, you know, you get a little credit at the bottom, producer produced such and such films, you go, oh, well, that's good. What a legacy. What a great guy. Sad that he's gone. This year, we don't get that option. In the shots where it wasn't on fucking Latifah, the camera was moving like it was being operated by fucking Wally with his fucking fire extinguisher flying through the fucking space. Just couldn't keep still because his fire extinguisher won't work. Fuck, he's going roop, roop, just going past the fucking screen, so he can't see the fucking screen, and we can't fucking focus on the fucking subtitles and see who these fucking people are. And then at the end, of course, they do this thing that they do every year, and they spend like three times as much time on Paul Newman's credit as everybody else's. Now, of course, Paul Newman is a huge loss,
Yeah.
But it's just, I don't think Paul Newman would agree with the fact that he gets three times as much airtime as the other people, and other people, you don't even know who they are. Because if I were the relatives of these people, I'd be even angrier than I am now, if that's possible.
Wow.
Sorry.
No, not at all. This is your platform to...
Am I off the base here?
It was certainly done differently than I would have done it, but that's your angle, sir, not mine. So you say whatever the fuck you want.
Tell me what you think.
I just told you what I think.
You think this was the misfire, though, of epic proportions? This was dumb. And I'm angry about it.
You're mad as hell, and you're not going to take
it. You're not going to take it anymore.
I'm not going to stand up late for those Oscars anymore! Until next year.
The thing's going so well, apart from the musical number in the middle, which I thought nearly killed the momentum of the show. But this, you just don't do that. You don't jazz up. If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
You want to sexy up? That's the boardroom. It's all right. Let's sexy up the In Memoriam section.
Exactly. You hit it on the head, sir. You hit the nail on the head.
I mean, hey, if you want to make it more offensive, you could have had like Megan Fox come up and sing it. People wouldn't have cared who fucking died. Who died? Someone's dead. Oh.
No. I tell you what. The most offensive thing to do. You can have Bill Mayer do his this stand-up routine. Come like. Oh,
hi, I hate religion. Like. I don't believe in God.
That's the tone of the evening.
I got nothing against the dude. I actually like Bill Maher. I don't agree with him and his really just snobbish stance on spirituality and shit. But that aside,
they're never gonna ask it back though.
That's what's awesome though. I mean, it's like that. I think that's awesome. Someone actually gets there and goes off script. You know, I think.
But it just didn't fit with the tone of the evening.
No, it didn't, they had to have someone represent, like, the documentary category. He did a documentary. I guess next show they'll just get Morgan Spurlock or that whatever his name is, the Super Size Me guy. You know, just get him.
Yeah, Morgan Spurlock, yeah.
Thank you. It is him. Maybe him next year. Hi, guys. Remember, I got fat? Yeah, we remember. You know, the one documentary that, like, the most no-shit Sherlock, you know, documentary ever made. If you eat a lot of fat fast food, you're going to get fat. I did not know that. Thank you, sir. I'm sorry.
Well, that's a whole other thing.
I know, but that's so silly. People are just like, oh my god, he was so groundbreaking. It's like, really? He just told you shit you already knew? Oh my god. You know.
I don't even remember if, we did have some pointless montages this year, didn't we? There were a couple.
We did, but they weren't as like, I think they were...
They had a point.
They must not have been. You know what? They must not have been bad because I don't remember. I don't even remember them.
Well, no, it was like these are the films which celebrated animation this year.
Oh,
and these
action,
are the ones which celebrated
yes.
romance and
that was
all of that.
Hot. Yeah, but for me, the highlight of the night was the Judd Apatow directed short film with a visibly skinnier Seth Rogen and James
good.
Franco.
I haven't even seen Pineapple Express yet, and I thought that was good.
But you should. You should really see Pineapple Express.
I know, you keep telling me.
It's brilliant. It is that, for my money, that and Forgetting Sarah Marshall are the best of the, quote, Apatow brand films. And that's saying something, because they've, with like maybe one or two stumbles, they have really done a good job. A lot of home runs, I think. That's just my opinion, though. So, yeah, that's all I got to say about the Oscars, though. What up?
It was a great show. I hope if they ask Jackman back next
year. They will.
Yeah, I think that's great. Personally, I'd like them to... Well, no doubt they'll ask him.
The ratings are up.
I'd like to see them get someone else.
They went up like
how good was Steve Martin?
Steve Martin, yes, he was okay. He was better than...
Okay, I think it was great. He needs to be hosting this thing again.
Well, I mean, to be fair, though, I mean, they do ask a lot of people, and a lot of people say no. I mean, like, everyone keeps saying, like, why don't you get Jerry Seinfeld? And they're like, look, we've tried to get Seinfeld. He won't do it. So it's not from a lack of effort.
I don't think he'd be very good myself.
I wouldn't either. I'm not a big on that show. I don't hate it, but I'm just like, whatever. Not my thing, man. I'll tell you what show I do like. I'll tell you what universally loved show I do like, though. Little segue.
Oh,
here.
I know what show you like. I read your post. I've
never
seen
post.
It.
You
know what? This is great because I've worn myself out so much by my rant that I need you to talk
you
for quite
talk
a bit
something.
So I can relax.
Because I was going to segue into something else because of the rage, but I'll save that for a few minutes. But yeah, I love Arrested Development. That is such a fucking brilliantly funny show, and I emphasize in the word brilliant. And funny. I mean, I don't know which one it was better. Was it more brilliant or was it more funny? I don't know. It's that good. And it was only on for 3 seasons, and it's got a huge cult following. Anyone who's – I mean, you know, you folks, hopefully the ones who are listening here have already seen it. You know what I'm talking about. So there have been a lot of rumors about a movie. Now, Mitchell Hurwitz, who was the creator of the show, the executive producer, showrunner, wrote a shitload of episodes. There's been a lot of rumors they're going to do a film version, and apparently all the cast members agreed to do it except for Michael Sierra, who plays the son on the show, George Michael. He was the holdout, and a lot of people wanted to shit on Michael Sierra for not doing it, you know, saying that he owed them, which is horseshit. I'm sorry, you don't owe anyone. That's a load of crap. You know, a lot of people saying, oh, well, you know, Sierra owes his career to them. And that's not really true because the rest of development never did well, and Sierra's career is where it is because of Superbad and Juno doing so, being huge, not because of Arrested Development. So that argument doesn't hold shit to me. So anyway, Sierra was always saying, like, look, I want to see a script or a story outline, or I'd like to know what the story is before I agree to do the movie, because there was none of that. Everyone just sort of agreed to do the movie on blind faith. And I think that's a very reasonable position to be on with any movie. I don't see where Sierra is wrong on this argument. Again, that's horseshit. People get shitting on Sierra for saying, I want to see a script first. There's nothing wrong with that. That's reasonable. So
I think more people should do that.
I'm sorry, what?
I think more people should do that.
Most people
pisses
do that.
Me off that. Well,
most
good.
People do that. I mean, like, you know, can I see a script first? Well, what's the story? I mean, like, I'm it's so fucking moronic. But anyway, so the rumors are coming out now that he has finally agreed to do the movie, which is great for me because that means an Arrested Development movie seems like it's going to happen. And I say this because the WonderCon was this weekend. And they had Mitch Hurwitz is headlining another. He's developing another. He's got a new show coming out, animated series called Sit Down, Shut Up, which looks funny as hell. And someone asked him at a panel about, hey, what about the Arrested Development movie? And he basically very coyly said, everyone who has agreed to do the movie has agreed to do the movie. That's all he would say, essentially. It sounds like to me he's confirming that Sierra finally said yes. And if that's the case, awesome. I cannot wait to see this movie. Like, I'm going to nerdgasm over this movie more than Watchmen. because I haven't read Watchmen, and you know, I can't wait. I'm excited about Watchmen, but I'm trying to be realistic about this, about that movie. Arrested Development movie, man, that's awesome. Like that news made my week. It's like, oh shit, they're probably gonna do it now. It's actually gonna happen, maybe. That's awesome. I cannot be more ecstatic. I hope I'm getting that across to you people that I cannot wait to see an Arrested Development movie. Even though I'm still, with all that excitement aside of me, I have to be realistic and say, you know, there is such a thing as leaving a good thing alone. So, you know, the way the show ended, although it didn't, it ended on a nice proper note, although it didn't conclude all the character arcs. But I would still like to see where those characters are. It's just, I guess it's one of those things where, you know, it's kind of like the Indiana Jones 4. I mean, you build up a movie and you talk about it forever and you want to see it and you want to see it and you want to see it. And you sort of build it up in your own mind of what you expect it to be. And then when they finally make it, it's not that at all. Even if you liked Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull, which I liked it, it did not meet up to what I thought a fourth Indiana Jones film should have been. And so I wonder if this is the same case with an Arrested Development movie, if maybe we're building up this movie in our own minds. And also, you know, the fact of the matter is that when they make the – I think it's obvious the movie will get made now. You know, it's not going to be that widely seen. It's going to be just as underappreciated as the show was, frankly. So I already know it's not going to – if it makes its budget back, it'll be lucky. It'll be a blessing in disguise. So that's all I have to say about that. Can't wait to see it. Your thoughts, sir? Or are you just completely just like, what's he talking about? Oh. I don't know.
Happy that you're happy.
Wow.
Phil turned into Hulk thanks to Oscar's Hulk Hayden Memoriam this year.
You really did. You know, that's a terrible impression. That aside, like, you really were pretty pissed about that, dude. I've never seen you that pissed before.
I'm pissed that you don't like my Hulk impression. Fuck you. That's the Hulk from the 82 cartoon. Shut up.
Oh, the 82 cartoon. Okay. Oh, okay.
Yes, that's what it is. Okay. It's not Lou Ferrigno.
He didn't talk on that show. So, although he did do like a lot of the – for some reason they had this weird conceit that, oh, we have to have him voice the Hulk on these cartoons, which I never understood. It's like the dude's half deaf. What's he going to say? Hulk smash. Which that's very offensive, and you can send your emails to Phil, your complaints. But man,
absolutely. Shall I tell you about the movies I saw this weekend?
One more news item. I mean, I guess the thing. There's so much happened this week that if we forget to talk about it, we're sorry. But like, just that's a good. I think that's a good thing is when there's so much that happened this week that you forget to talk about it. But one thing has to be said.
Absolutely.
With your Hulk mindset, I gotta go. I gotta get this out. I have to get this out in the open right now and say, Total Recall remake. What do you think, Hulk?
Yes. About time. No, actually. That's well, arc? No. I'm of a couple of minds on
okay.
it. I mean, no. It's not gonna take anything away from the original if it sucks. I'm extremely depressed. That there are people out there that haven't seen the original. But the fact is, it's true. It has, in the last couple of years, fallen by the wayside a little. And which is really a shame, because I am of the personal opinion that Total Recall is, it's not Schwarzenegger's best film. Of course it isn't better than Terminator. But it is his most fun film. There isn't a single film he's done that I can enjoy more than Total Recall, it all. It has the most insane violence, the most wonderful dialogue, the most insane plot. It's just the best. And it's a film that embraces the ridiculousness of Schwarzenegger playing that part. You know, I love the fact that it's a, you know, you're not so sure if it's a real world or the dream world, and yet
I love that.
It's about this construction worker that looks like Arnold Schwarzenegger and can kill people with his bare hands. So it embraces the ridiculousness.
Well, I mean, that's the thing about
it. It works on a level that it wouldn't have if it had been Patrick Swayze playing it.
Well, I mean, it would have played completely different. I mean, there were so many people who were attached to that property over the years. Richard Dreyfuss.
Cronenberg, wasn't it?
Cronenberg was, it was almost, it was like a hair away from happening. And I don't know what, I don't know, so many people were attached to that actor, director, etc. But, I mean, that's the thing about the remake, though, is that they're going to completely forego the whole is it a dream or is it reality. They completely left that open to interpretation. There is no definitive answer. There really is. There's no definitive answer as to whether or not it's a dream or reality. I don't know. I think it was reality. But you could make an argument that it was in fact a dream, because...
Well, they were trying to make a sequel for ages, which I guess would have answered the question.
Yeah, they did sequels, like direct-to-video sequels and shit, but they were actually trying to do a real sequel. Like, I think it was, I want to say Miramax or Dimension. Yeah, it was Miramax trying to develop
it. Yeah, it was Miramax, yeah.
Yeah, so I think like they
and,
talked
to... number one, Franks. Will Riker.
Ugh. Yeah, just... Ugh.
Well, you never know. He did fuck up Thunderbirds, but
I don't know if that was like his fuck up or like that project was fucked to begin with.
It's
like,
no, it wasn't really. But
it's a job, you know, because it probably paid well and shit more than those conventions do. I'm
well,
just saying.
I suppose.
You know, I'm just saying. But anyway, that's all I got to say about that. So, what is your what's on your mind? What have you seen, sir?
I saw two movies this weekend. I got to see, first of all, I got to see Gran Torino. Have you seen Gran Torino?
No, I have not. I've heard some things about it. I've heard the acting is a friend of mine saw it. He said he was shocked by how bad some of the acting was. He said Eastwood was great because Eastwood had...
I don't know where this is coming from.
He said some of the acting was horrible. Like, you just, like, ugh. I don't know, man.
But I just, to me, the acting was great across the board. Everybody, it was just great. For those of you who don't know, I'll just quickly set the stage. Yeah. Gran Torino is a film. It's supposed to be Clint Eastwood's swan song as a performer, as an actor.
Supposedly.
I don't know if it will be, but
fact that he hasn't said so after all this time, the press he's done for the movie pretty much says, yeah, it's a swan song. I would say. That's my guess now.
Well, I couldn't find a better swan song for him. I'll just come out and say it, folks. I know we've only just reached March today, but Gran Torino is right now my favorite film of the year, and I would be extremely surprised if it isn't my favorite film of the year by year's end.
What, you mean you're not going to... Oh, my God.
Moved. Well, you know, I just don't know about that. I still have no concept of what that movie will be. I think I'm probably going to prefer Gran Torino to Watchmen. Gran Torino is the kind of film that appeals to me. It's a very simple plot and a very small-scale, intimate film done with a huge amount of energy and humor and gusto. And I was so moved by it. I mean, that's the key thing. It's moved. I think most audiences these days were so jaded by most things. And I'll be clear about this. It's cliche. I mean, obviously, it's a film about a man who is as prejudiced as you can get.
A racist.
And he lives in a neighborhood. He's a racist. My God, I don't even think racist is an appropriate word. There must be a higher terminology we can use.
I think people
have
this idea that he's going to be like Archie Bunker, you know. Meathead.
It's kind of like that.
Oh my God.
Course it's...
Go ahead.
He lives in a neighborhood where there's nobody left but racial minorities. He's staying put while everyone else has moved out. Now everyone who has moved in are racial minorities, and these Koreans have moved next door. And, of course, he used to specialize in killing Koreans during the war some 40, 50 years ago. And of course, he's got a car, which is a Gran Torino, and this Korean kid from next door who's getting involved with a gang, tries to steal the car, and then to make up for it, he's got to work for Clint Eastwood, and then, you know, Clint Eastwood finds his soul, and the boy finds his balls. So it is a very cliche story. It is. Well, no. See, there's the thing. You're watching the movie, and you think it's going to be like that.
Yeah.
And you can predict pretty much everything that's going to happen. By the time you reach the third act, the movie suddenly takes a very dark turn, which is a great, great trick used by Eastwood. But by this
time... He does it a lot.
The turn is very light. It's an extremely funny film. And the characters are great, and I loved all the actors. I thought the acting done by the Koreans, this little Korean brother and sister, which get a lot of attacks, people do not like their performances, I thought they were great, I thought they were very natural, I think I'm on my own there. No one else seems to like these performances, but I did, and I'll say it. You love the characters and you care for them so much. By the time the shit hits the fan, you're really moved by it. You really are. And then in Act 3, the movie comes something else, which is entirely fine. But the only problem is, of course, you can pretty much predict everything that is going to happen in the last 20 minutes. And it does happen exactly the way you think about it. That doesn't stop it from being very moving, but it does turn out to be very predictable. The movie has so much of the humour comes from the things that Clint Eastwood is saying, these horrible racial terms, and everyone in the audience, not just me, is in hysterics, but at the same time, I feel like an asshole. I think, should I be laughing at this? Should I really be laughing at this? And I think it's okay to laugh. I finally realised that it was okay to laugh because it's Clint Eastwood that's saying these things. Because we all know Clint Eastwood is a very nice guy. If it was somebody else, if it was a newcomer playing this part, or an actor we weren't very familiar with, I don't think anybody would be laughing, because they wouldn't feel comfortable. But because it's Clint, it's okay. Also, the great thing is the movie really, really embraces the cliche of Eastwood. This cliche that everybody knows in their mind of what Clint Eastwood is and how he talks. I mean, that is how he talks in this movie, non-stop. And he knows it, and he knows it's funny. So he says these funny things in this voice just to get a laugh, and it works. It's so great. I found the movie just incredibly, incredibly moving. Like I say, it is pretty predictable. And also, the family is, Eastwood has this family. You know, he's got a son, two sons, which he doesn't connect with. And, you know, one of the sons and his wife is trying to get him into an old people's home. Right. And he's got a granddaughter that's covered in, you know, piercings and wants his stuff. And they really are, you know, one note blind.
Which
and
he does
lazy
that a lot.
Writing.
And yeah, he's actually kind of big on that. I mean, he does it a lot more than people ever want to give him people want to acknowledge, to be honest. It's like, you know, I think of Flags of Our Fathers, where the character ends up becoming a drunk in every scene. You know, he's always drinking, and I was wondering if in the script it had like gulp gulp written next to, you know, lines of dialogue. I always thought like the character should have had like a big sign saying I'm an alcoholic, and you know, at the begin, every time he opens, he says a line, he goes, "Hey, I'm an alcoholic if you didn't know," because I mean, he's not big on subtlety, dude. Same, I mean, he also,
no, it's true.
Also had the white trash, one-dimensional, like, relatives and Million Dollar Baby, which was an otherwise fantastic, great movie, and that was the one thing that annoyed me. That and the retard, you know, idiot who wants to be the, you know, the world's greatest boxer. So I always thought they'd do a sequel called Million Dollar Retard with, like, Morgan Freeman in that character, and he, like, shrugged his shoulders and goes, "Here we go again."
My God.
I'd see
Well, it's true. That doesn't change here.
And there are
in
other
fact,
ones, too. I could keep going. I could even talk to you about how Changeling is horribly written. There is literally a drinking game where every time Angelina Jolie says, "My son," you take a shot. And you'll be on the floor about an hour into the movie, and the movie's 2.5 hours. So
I'll have to play that with you when I finally meet you.
Yes.
That'll be great.
Yeah, you'll be drunk on your ass, my friend, doing that. That flick is, again, it's a good flick, but god damn, like my son, my son, my son, that's not my son, I want my son, my son, my son, my god! Get a real writer behind it. Shit.
See, you put me off seeing that, because I want to see that movie, and I haven't seen
it
yet.
I say those remarks, but I thought it was a good movie. A few other people I've talked to think it's god-awful, and I'm not going to argue with that logic, because I can see where they get that. But still, anyway. Sorry.
It's the stuff that's going to happen in Gran Torino. Oh God, I keep saying Gran Turismo. I've got to stop saying that in my head. Gran Torino is not going to change that. In fact, there's the bit. Eventually, he goes to a barbecue at the Korean family's house.
Right.
And at one point, he goes into the bathroom by himself, washes his face, and he says, literally, "I'm not shitting you." He looks in the mirror and says, "God damn it, I've got more in common with these goddamn Koreans than I do with my own family."
Wow.
Which is, you know,
that's not subtle.
Telegraphing the message. Yeah, exactly.
Not very subtle.
It's hell. Which, you know, slightly hurts. And also, the relationship with his own family, it never really gets resolved, in my opinion, in the way that it should. Which was unsatisfying to me. Other people will say that the movie should wrap up very quickly, which it does.
Yeah, I mean, some people say it's a good thing. I mean, Million Dollar Baby, they never resolve whether or not she actually won the fight. That doesn't even become an issue.
Yes, yeah.
I mean, some people still wonder that. It's like, that ruined the movie for me because I didn't know if she won or not. It's like, I don't think that matters, dude. She probably didn't. They probably let her win. There's a good argument to be made that, yeah, she probably won the goddamn fight because the other bitch cheated. In front of everyone, no less.
So I guess the what we're trying to say here is, if you didn't like some of Eastwood's previous films as director in the recent years, then probably Gran Torino isn't going to change your mind. Yep. But me, personally, I just...
You never know.
Even despite its flaws, I'm only picking at the flaws because, obviously, if you love something that much, it should stand up to testing, which it does. I was profoundly moved by it. Even at the end, in the closing credits, when he sings... He only sings the opening verse of the song.
Which it's also called Gran Torino.
And I think his son sings the rest of it. And the whole end credits play out over this beautiful scenery. And everybody stayed. Because I feel, when I've seen a movie that's that good, I always stay for the whole end credits to pay my respect. It's my way of paying respect to the movie, that I sit down and I don't rush out and go to the bathroom. I sit down and I let the whole thing play out. Just so I can sort of relax and drink in and take in what I've just seen.
Yeah, I'm that
way. So despite its flaws, I absolutely adored it. If you haven't seen it, people in the UK, it's out right now. You can do much worse, and I'll get onto that in a second.
Ooh.
Go see Gran Torino. All right. You have to see it. I loved it.
All right, so what else did you see, sir?
I saw... What is the one thing that can sully seeing a great movie? That's going right back into the theater and seeing a shit one. And I saw the new Clive Owen, Naomi Watts thriller, The International.
Wow.
God.
You remember there was a time when all of us wanted Clive Owen to be Bond? And I'll put my hand up right now, and I am literally doing that because I was the guy pushing for Clive Owen to be Bond. Because I couldn't think outside the box, and I was a fucking moron. And look, to be fair, Clive Owen's a great actor, I think. I mean, he should have won the Oscar for Closer. No doubt in my mind about that. That was the best performance of 2004, in my opinion, was Clive Owen in that movie. And I thought that was the best movie, 2004. I know Phil will probably disagree with me on that one. But,
yes.
See, there you go. I knew it. But, yeah, I mean, what happened, man? This dude was poised for stardom. I don't know what happened, man.
He's playing – I'll tell you exactly what's happening. He's playing the same guy in every film. He's falling into that trap. Either he's not picking the right scripts, or he is picking the scripts that appeal to him and then getting hired just to be Clive Owen. And in this film, it's the same guy that was in Shoot 'Em Up, except without the great lines. And having sex with Monica Bellucci, which makes him incredibly cool.
Like,
and he does now.
Wait, hold on a second. You liked Shoot 'Em Up?
I liked Shoot 'Em Up. Yes, all right, that's cool. Very much.
No, there's nothing wrong with that. I just, I'm fine with that.
I know it's shit. I know it's garbage, but I liked it.
Well, there you go. You just said. You're just like, hey, I know it's shit. So, I mean, exactly. That's the kind of movie you don't take seriously. You either enjoy it for what it is or you don't. And I didn't.
It's just a film that was, well, it's okay. We won't get sidetracked. We'll get into it. I'll just say it's the kind of film that we would have celebrated and all embraced in the 80s, but nowadays,
God.
Thing is, it's the tone and of audiences. It's
was
just
this
completely
movie made in the, why wasn't that movie made in the 80s? Because then Simon Pegg would be able to, you know, Edgar Wright would be able to spoof it with Pegg and Frost on with Hot Fuzz. Why must that movie have been made 20 years too late? I ask the question. Damn you, time!
It's a sad thing. I went to see this movie because of Total Film. Everyone else was saying it was shit. The review in Total Film gave it 3 stars. Oh, by the way, Gran Torino, 9 out of 10. I'll give it a 9 out of 10.
Yeah, there you go, folks.
Absolutely. I forgot to do that.
That's fine.
The International, the review in Total Film said if you were a little underwhelmed by Quantum of Solace and wanted more out of it, which I did, liked it, but I wanted more out of it, go see this movie. They say the premise, it's about an international bank, which is untouchable, which is funding terrorism, and Clive Owen and Naomi Watts are trying to bring it down. And there's a great shootout in the Smithsonian in New York.
Wow.
And I'm like, no, not the Smithsonian. Well, the Guggenheim. Sorry, my mistake. I think it's the Guggenheim. I don't know art galleries. I'm pretty sure it is. Yes. And I thought, well, that sounds great to me. That sounds like a great premise. That sounds great. I'll see that. And they said, beware, it's not an action movie. It's a thriller. There's a lot of talking in it, but I enjoyed the movie.
So that's my, argument. That is my argument with Watchmen. It's a very talky movie, and there is action in it, and people are not expecting talk.
I'm telling you, dude, if Watchmen is as boring, pretentious, and dull as The International, I am going to weep. I am actually going on my way home from Manchester where my IMAX is. I might just throw myself.
It is insanely plot heavy. That's what I've been told. I mean, I didn't read the comic book. I know we're getting off topic. I'm sorry, but that's just what we fucking do on the show. I'm talking to the people listening to this right now who are thinking, why are they talking about other shit? Sorry.
It's okay. The problem with The International isn't that it's plotty. It's that they just spend too much time talking about the plot. There isn't that much really to discuss, but they talk about it. And not to mention every, I swear to God, not only every plot device,
right.
Not only every scene, but every line of dialogue in this film is something you have heard if you have seen a fair amount of films in another movie. My God, this film is a cold fish. It's so, I've said it before, it's dull, it's pretentious. Clive Owen is playing the same guy. Naomi Watts is playing, I don't know what she's doing. She's just being Naomi Watts with an American. There's no characters here. There's no character development. There's nothing going on here.
This is basically this should be like a new category called like Phil's like the cinematic nappy, full of poo, you know. So Phil's latest edition of the cinematic nappy.
To be fair, I will say this is a nappy which is not 100% filled with poo. The shootout in the Guggenheim is very good. It is very good. The problem is, it takes us, I think, 80 minutes to get there, by which time, it wears me, it's the kind of movie that wears you out just discussing it. It's, all I'll say is, it's vapor. It just washes over you. I've bought DVDs of bad movies because I've enjoyed particular sequences in them. I will say I bought Spider-Man 3 specifically because I love The Birth of the Sandman so much. I can't think of any other examples right. Oh, no, Cutthroat Island. I own Cutthroat Island because I like the pirate ship battle.
I own
Pirates 3 because I enjoy the pirate ship battle. Yeah, I know. Judge me, burn me, nail me to the stake. I don't care. This, no, sorry. Shootout of the Guggenheim is not going to save me. Buying The International, I'm not going to... I'm going to kick it off the shelf at HMV if I ever see it there and piss on it. It's just save your time, folks. And Clive Owen should know better.
Wow.
I'm going to give it a 3. 3 out of 10. So there you go.
There you go. That's something. So you just didn't like it, huh? Being pretty subtle, dude. Just like those Eastwood movies, man, being really fucking subtle on what you think. My family.
I just don't know. You know what it's like, Jamie.
When I know.
You go into a movie and you feel like life is short, life is precious,
right.
And the people that made this movie are taking my time.
That's the way I feel. You know, well, also the fact, you know, you trust Total Film and you're like, you know what, I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt, I'm going in. That's the way I was with the Friday the 13th remake, reboot, whatever. I only went because it was getting good reviews from our fellow nerds on the internet and shit. They were like, it's awesome. And, you know, I grew up in the 80s. I was born in the 80s and shit. And I watched those flicks very heavily on the reruns and whatnot. So I had a nostalgia for them. And I thought, you know what, I'm going to go win because I do have sort of a soft spot for these flicks. I hated it. It was a fucking terrible movie. And I just like, man, what movie were those guys watching? Because it wasn't the movie I saw. Terrible movie. I felt the exact same way. I know the feeling you have towards Total Film now. Of course, there's
my gut is, my gut instinct is I won't be saying that next week about Watchmen. I am going to be saying...
You think you're going to like it?
I think I'm probably going to say I liked looking at it.
Yeah.
I just didn't understand it. But I'm going to see it again to try and understand it. That's what I predict I'm going to be saying.
I go into any movie hoping that it will be good. I mean, even when you sort of in the back of your mind know it's going to be terrible, and I'm not saying this is the case because I think it's, you know, it looks like a good, great movie. I have the feeling, as I said before, I really am getting this whole Blade Runner Fight Club vibe from this flick, where it's gonna be a great piece of filmmaking, but it's just gonna be something that people are gonna be divided up about, and sadly, most people aren't gonna dig it. I want to be wrong, but I'm not feeling it, man. But we'll see what happens. I hope it's a good movie, though. And also, it'll be a real nerds night out because, as you pointed out so accurately, there's new Star Trek and Terminator trailers. And Watchmen. So, I mean, you know, the only thing that would be better for certain nerds is if there was a woman with them that night. And that might be the case for some people.
Oh, Jamie, I'm sure, honestly, folks, sometimes I have to save him from himself. I'm sure there are plenty of fans of the comic book Watchmen that are women. Women read comic books, especially something as intelligent as
Watchmen. It's scientifically proven, you know, there are women who read comic books. They get DNA swaps from the fingerprints from copies of Watchmen. Some of those are proven to be female, you know. There you go.
There we go.
I'm such a condescending...
I'd love us to put up a poll, for people who listen to the show. Which person was the most silly, unintelligent, Dickish. Obnoxious this week?
That was bad. That'd be me.
What the results are.
That'd be me, dude. There's no doubt about it. Because that'd be me because you have. It would be me because you had your gripes with the Queen Latifah thing. Well, not Queen Latifah, just the producers of the Oscars. It's a legit argument to present to people.
Although I will say, if I had been on that stage, I would have kicked her off. I would have kicked her in the behind, and I would have kicked a center flying off that stage right into Brad Pitt's lap. I won the poll!
Yeah, yay! I know. I could say something really mean to follow that up about Queen Latifah, but I'm just going to shut my mouth and not say anything.
Will that do it for us tonight?
I think we're done. I think we're going to end on that note. So, folks, thanks for listening. It's been a fun week, as always. And, you know, hey, guys, have a great week this coming time. And go see Watchmen, I'm presuming you are. And hopefully, you know, let it sink in and don't go in thinking it's going to be a pure R-rated adventure flick because it's not. I think if we tell you that up front, I think people will understand that. But they're not telling that to people. I cannot emphasize that enough. It's not being sold to people properly. You know, like the Ang Lee Hulk wasn't told to people properly. As I gave that example. I'm getting off topic as always. Phil, wrap it up, sir.
I've got nothing real. I was thinking of a good Watchmen quote to end the show on, but I can't really think of anything that'll work right now. So I'll just say, folks, for fans of Watchmen, I hope the film is everything that you hope it will be. And have a great, great time seeing it. We will see you next Sunday, even though you won't listen to it next Sunday because it probably won't get posted till the week. Still, you know, let's all have a great time, and if we don't, let's moan the hell about it next week. We'll see you next week.